please come to order. Present are Senator Lincoln, Senator Kelly, Senator Green, Senator Mackey, and myself. And we are here to consider confirmation of board members to the Board of Game. We, I think, have them all on teleconference. Let's start with Greg Strebler. If you'd give us a brief statement of why on earth you would want to do this job and how you would continue to do this job, and then we'll ask our usual friendly questions.
Can you hear me okay?
I just barely.
How's that?
That's getting better. We're getting you turned up.
Okay. My name is Greg Strebler. I live in Gustavus. I've been on the board a little over 2 years now, and that's a good question why I wanted to re-up. It took me a while thinking it over, mainly because it turns out that after a couple of years on the board, I just think I'm starting to be a halfway decent board member, and it seems like I'm wasting time to stop now, so I was willing to do it for another time. As to what my aspirations are on the board and whatnot, I think if we deal with some pretty important issues, I'm proud of the way this board functions. And, I want to continue contributing to it, I guess. It's as straightforward as that.
What do you see as the toughest issues in the next 2 years?
I guess the resolution of subsistence, for sure. That's one of the big sticking points, I think, that affects us very strongly, affects the Department of Fish and Game real strongly. And I suppose if there's one thing I've seen as I've gone around the state the last couple of years that concerns me, is the degree to which the urban and the rural areas seem to be getting at loggerheads with each other. And I think we have to find a way to defuse that.
I think they should leave us alone.
What happened with regard to the short-lived proposal on Unit 13 bear season?
What happened there was that throughout the week the board was getting testimony about the accumulating dire situation for moose, especially in Unit 13, and we were getting more and more concerned that we had to try and be proactive on this. That basically, there's very good biological information that suggests that the female adult cohort of moose was getting older and older, and they were not being replaced at the proper rate by recruitment, and that what was taken up most of the recruitment was predation, and fundamentally by brown bears. When you put that all together, the board really felt that it was important to try to be proactive on it. And then we ended up at that point in unanimity, but then we kind of split up on what to do about it. And I personally voted against the idea at first of same-day aerial hunting of bears. It seemed like it was an idea that had some merit to think about, but that we were springing it on the public too fast. And then especially when I heard that the guides didn't support it, and the Outdoor Council didn't support it, the Wildlife Alliance, in other words, across the board, people didn't support it on first thought, it seemed like too quick a shot at things, even though we probably ought to try something. And I think the whole board eventually ended up more or less agreeing with that, and deciding to put it on the back burner until we could get more public input.
I don't personally think that's an illogical conclusion. Just from my own experience in that area, as I understood it, your regulation didn't take effect until the 15th of May and went to the 15th of June. And, you know, by that point, you probably wouldn't have had that significant an increase in bear harvest, but you would have taken all the flack for doing it. The benefit might have been if the bear had been significantly harassed isn't the right word, but something like that, during the time when they're specializing on killing calf moose, you right. would have probably got some benefit. But I'm not sure that the benefit would have been commensurate with the level of flack you got for it.
That was my conclusion too, Senator.
Well, I was surprised that you even tried it in the first place, frankly. If you had tried that in the early season, the success rate would have drastically gone up and had a significant impact in bear populations, however.
Well, I guess the reason I voted against it was what I said, and then also it seems to me that somehow I guess we're going to have to get sort of a relook at the whole bear situation. If we're going to reduce bears in Unit 13, we've already liberalized the season a lot, and it hasn't seemed to touch the bear population. And the biologists seem to be coming to the conclusion that what you're going to have to do at some point is start taking down the female part of the population, and there's going to be tremendous public sentiment against that. So it just seems like we can't get too far out in front of the public on this if we expect to get anywhere.
I don't disagree. You and the rest of the board chose not to set population and harvest levels in areas identified for intensive management.
Right.
I guess part of that was on data. Did you request the database from the department on that question?
Not at this meeting. No, we didn't. The reason being that we had set up sort of a phased procedure there, and what we wanted to do was give the public plenty of public notice to come to us with their ideas, and then use this interim to set up the populations that were going to be targeted for high levels of, that would be earmarked for high levels of consumptive use, so that we could then take it the next step later.
How has the department been in terms of providing information to cooperate with that effort when you're actually trying to set harvest levels?
I've been real satisfied. I think they've been real cooperative.
Okay, are there questions by other members of the committee? Senator Mackey and then Senator Lincoln.
Okay. Greg, a couple years ago, when you came up for confirmation and when you were first appointed, I supported your confirmation and actually worked with you on some of those issues. I have a couple questions as we go back around here again, and I obviously, as you probably know, have some real strong feelings as it relates to Glacier Bay.
Yeah.
And what's happening with the Park Service. In trying to close out commercial fishing and I believe eventually subsistence and any other kind of traditional use of fish and game resources there. I noticed on your resume that you've been a contractor to Glacier Bay National Park in the last, as far back as 95 and recently. And a contractor just in April 98 to present to the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council to characterize the industry and also to advise on issues related to Glacier Bay commercial fishing.
Right.
What can you, and I realize probably some of the fishing issues don't relate to your duties on the Board of Game, but I'm just kind of curious to get your take on the use, the continued use of both commercial and subsistence resources, fish and game, within Glacier Bay National Park.
Well, the contract I had with SEAC, Senator Mackey, was with to be a biological advisor to Bart Kohler on the subject when he was part of that negotiating team. And I took that on because I really respected the way that Bart was going about it. He was trying to interject the conservationist point of view, but he was also trying to come from the standpoint that fishing was not a conflicting use and that there was a balance possible there. And so I'm real discouraged with the way this is all shook out. I think that there was that the local group that included Bart and the fishermen and a variety of other people was within striking distance of coming up with something everybody could live with pretty well. and I was really sad when it all blew up.
Okay, well, I think you understand where my concern lies, and not having had the opportunity to ask you about it, I feel it is very appropriate to ask it here. And in your long history as a park ranger in Glacier Bay, as well as a contractor to both them and to SEAC, you know, my feeling is that the problems we're having in Glacier Bay would directly affect my constituency are coming from the Park Service and the conservation movement, maybe not so much SEAC, but those two things certainly send up a red flag right off the bat, and I'm real concerned about that, because I feel like most people in the legislature believe that Glacier Bay should continue to be managed for the resource users, commercial and subsistence and personal use, however you want to classify that.
I agree with that, and I worked for that with Bart. The solution that Bart had put forward kept the vast majority of the bay open to fishing, and I agree.
Do you foresee the Board of Game having to deal with any of those types of issues down the road? I mean, what I want to support is people that have a very pro-state of Alaska management philosophy and are willing to make the difficult decisions to continue to do that and not, you know, not start buying into the Park Service BS. And I guess that's just getting right to the point. And, you know, if you have anything else on that.
Well, I agree with your point. I quit the Park Service in 1980 because I was getting pretty tired of the way the feds were doing things. And since that time, I've lived here and lived next to them. And I've stayed interested in park management, but I've always tried to look out for local people and see that they aren't brushed aside by federal policies. I agree with you.
Okay, well, that's consistent with our discussions we had a few years ago, so I just thought I'd bring that back up and see if anything had changed. I appreciate it.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you. Greg, in looking at your employment history, it looks like you're involved in a lot of different educational training and teacher at the Sheldon Jackson College and just a lot of things you're involved in. How has your attendance been at the Board of Game?
I mean, have I been to every meeting, do you mean?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, I sure have.
That was the only question I had. It just seemed like you're a very involved individual.
Yeah, I've got a lot of irons in the fire as a consultant, but I've made all the meetings.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Do you have any suggestions how we can deal with the Park Service on this thing from an insider standpoint?
Oh. You know, I guess the best advice I've got for the Park Service right now is to try to notice how the state deals with local people. But it's a real eye-opener to me to compare, say, the way the Fish and Game Department deals with people compared to the way the Park Service does. And for instance, on this latest snafu with Board and Fishing Boats, Fish and Game learned a long, long time ago not to do stuff like that. They've got all kinds of procedures for getting information to people. That the rangers don't learn from that. But no, I don't have any quick fixes, sir. I think the biggest problem is the rate of turnover in the park staff, and you're always dealing with somebody new.
Okay. Thank you. If we have no further questions, let's go to Mike Flegel from McGrath.
You want to deal with these all together then at once? Okay.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate Resources Committee, Honorable Senators Halford, Taylor, Green, Kelly, Mackey, Parnell, and Lincoln. If you're prepared, I'm ready to give you a brief statement defining my philosophy and who I am.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm honored to appear before you once again for confirmation to this State Board of Game. It's been a pleasure to serve my first term on the board. I would like to respectfully request your support once again. This past 2.5 years have been interesting given the variety and complexity of issues facing the board and the changing political structures we are faced with in managing our game resources. We've seen the passage of a ballot initiative that took away the opportunity for same-day airborne taking of wolves, and the attempt through the same arena to eliminate the use of snares for wolves. We are faced with the challenge of an administration that is unwilling to allow any lethal population control of wolves, and increasing pressure is being applied by a small but very vocal segment of the public to restrict further take. I fully support any means of combating this run on the ballot box for management of game resources. I feel that a constitutional amendment protecting the rights of hunters, fishers, and trappers may be in order, as Alabama did a few years ago and other states are now doing. I feel very strongly that good ungulate management includes predator management, and have been a very vocal advocate for an increased harvest of wolves through any means available, including state-sponsored programs. I do not agree with the non-lethal program currently used on the 40-mile wolves, however. Many issues have come before us and many actions have been taken, some not acceptable to all segments of the population. I assure you that I carefully consider an issue, vote according to my heart, and am not concerned with the political fallout. I feel I have been a fair and reasonable voice on the board and would like to have the opportunity to continue this service to my state and its people. And in closing, I wish to once again thank you for allowing me to address you and wish you all good luck in your decisions.
Thank you. I'd just kind of like to ask you the same question I asked previously with regard to identifying populations, both for population target and harvest target for intensive game management unit, intensive game management. It would seem that we'd have made more progress if we'd made those determinations in going forward. I wonder if you'd comment on that and also comment on the level of support and help you got from the department in doing that.
Certainly. Well, as you can understand, this Senate Bill 77 with, the new intensive management law has been fairly complex. I understand that the intent was simple, but it was a fairly complex system to come into play to how to identify these populations. And the board spent the first portion of its time trying to just identify those populations, and of course we move around on a regional cycle, so we're dealing with different areas of the state at different times. And as those populations are defined, then we are leaving the harvest objectives and population objectives numbers to be determined through the public process, as Mr. Stradler just explained. And we have found that the department has been very helpful in this entire implementation of this intensive management bill, and have in fact led most of the efforts to do so.
Well, it just seems that as far as intensive management is concerned, we don't have either population objectives or harvest objectives in a lot of areas that we've got literally decades of database from the Department of Fish and Game with regard to sex and age, composition counts, total number estimates, and everything else. And I'm kind of wondering why we never got to that point.
Well, I can assure you that it has caused much frustration among board members as well. I'm frustrated with the whole system. You ought to hear some of our tapes when we discuss specific populations. We feel that we're trying to address this thing in the intent that is laid out in the bill, and it is very frustrating. And so the board has adopted this schedule that would, first of all, we would identify all the populations that meet these requirements in the state, and then we would then go to the public with the numbers that would be what our harvest goals and population objectives are, and for comment. And I agree, in several instances we could probably just go right out and use stuff that has been determined by previous boards, and to be honest, I'm not sure why we're not doing that. The whole process has been quite frustrating. We we have several caribou herds and moose populations in subunits that fall below the magic numbers that we've established yet. Yet those populations are important to somebody, and they therefore not, do not qualify for intensive management purposes according to the bill. But it's been a frustrating experience, and I'm not sure how we can speed that up other than to just go ahead and use the process that we're doing.
Well, I appreciate your efforts with regard to speeding it up, and it's my understanding that at least you're an advocate of doing that, and I wish you luck in the process of both moving the department to get the information and moving the board to act on the information. Senator Lincoln, do you have a question?
I do, and actually, Mr. Chair, it's stealing your question that you asked of Greg the first go around there, and that is, Mike, good afternoon. I wanted to hear from you what you felt were the major concerns into the future for, say, the next couple of years for the Board of Game.
Thank you, Senator Lincoln. I certainly would like to address that. I see several issues coming down the pike. Some we're right in the middle of now, and I feel that the number one issue, of course, is that the state and the federal government need to resolve this subsistence debate so that we are returned, the management of our fish and game resources need to be returned to the state. And I'm a strong advocate for that. I'm not saying that we need a constitutional amendment or that we need to amend the NILCA. I want to stay out of the actual politics of what's going to return management to the state, but we do need to regain management. This dual management system is only going to continue to get more and more cumbersome, and it's not a complementary system. We've had issues where we've allocated certain animals to a hunt, and then the federal board has turned around and reallocated all of the allocation that we made to a subsistence use, thereby canceling our hunt, basically. And I just see further problems coming with that dual system. Number two, I'd like to echo Mr. Strebler, his comment on the urban-rural difference. We are hearing more and more from the rural areas of user conflicts. And, you know, the underlying theme is that people don't really want to keep other people out. It's just that the numbers that they come in is overwhelming and boggling, you know, to the resource and competition there. So the urban-rural problem is there, of course. And I think that we really need to get a handle on this wildlife management by ballot initiative. I fully support the two resolutions that would change the composition of the ballot initiative signatures. I personally don't feel that wildlife resources should be the subject of ballot measures. And I just think that that's going to be our biggest challenge, that issue right there.
Thank you. And I'd just like to say, Mike, that in reading the resume that you sent in, the part that I think you should be most proud of, and I smile when I read it, is that your accomplishment has been Parent of the Year in 1992.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.
Are you in McGrath now?
Yes, sir.
How's your weather?
It's been very warm. We've been melting for the past 3 or 4 days. We got a high cloud over cover today, but it's still up near 40 degrees.
Can't get up to the lodge.
How's it doing at nights? Is it going very cold or just below freezing?
Just below freezing. We probably had 20 degrees this morning.
You can tell Senator Halford's itching to get back up there.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Senator Mackey, do you have a question?
No, I didn't. I fully support this candidate as well.
Have you got any suggestions other than the, I mean, obviously your ballot box management comments are certainly falling on receptive ears, but have you got any suggestions in how to handle predator populations when the effective means of harvest are eliminated by initiative?
Yeah, I do, and they may not be very politically acceptable to this section of the public that's trying to stop all of the harvest of wolves. And I know that that's the goal. They tell you, no, we just want to stop the non-humane methods. But I know that the bottom line is to get us to quit killing wolves, period. Number one, I also agree with Senator Kelly's bill that would overturn certain portions of the Save the Airborne Act that would allow state fish and game managers to once again use that tool. Now, whether or not it would be publicly acceptable by the administration, that's a whole different question, but certainly that would be my primary answer to it. Number two is we got to put a stop to these efforts to take away the issue. So I'm talking preventative measures. That SNARE initiative could just as well have passed if the coalition that fought it didn't jump into action and raise a whole bunch of money to fight the lies and the untruths that were being placed about it. The third thing that we can do, and I'm not sure if the state is willing to do this, I know the department has done it in the past, but it may not be that acceptable any longer, is to go out into rural areas and actually hold the trapping symposiums, wolf trapping classes, which they've done. They've done three here in McGrath. It's been a joint effort between the department and the Alaska Trappers Association. And that has been very effective in my area here. We have pretty much eliminated the wolves within a 20-mile area around McGrath, but obviously we can't reach everything. And I don't mean to say that we're eradicating them, but we've certainly got them into a better balance. And then that's all done by the local trappers, myself included.
Further questions? If there's no further questions, we thank you.
Well, I thank you. I sure appreciate the opportunity to address you. Thank you.
Tell me letters in today's paper, by the way.
You got a letter in today's Anchorage Daily News, if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I've been wondering if they were going to print it.
Okay. Craig Medrid task.
They did, and it's appreciated. Let's go to Greg Rozitka.
Good afternoon, Senator. Should I just go ahead and jump in on that? I appreciate the comments that came out earlier, and I know you have to perhaps question someone's mental capacity when they they do agree to put themselves in a position of being untrustworthy for a game with the issues that we deal with. I'm sure you've got my resume sitting in front of you, or I can't look at it, so I think you will see from that I carry a very strong background of getting very diverse people.
Can you speak a little more closely to the mic, please?
Certainly. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
So, I just appreciate the opportunity to try to continue that over the next 3 years. The board that we have at this point in time, it makes me proud to be a part of it. And we get a lot of comments coming back from people who are perhaps highly critical of what we do. They say, even if we don't like what you do, we really appreciate the way you get to do it. And so I'm a very strong believer in the public process, and I'd like to continue to be a part of it.
Thank you. Questions by members of the committee, Senator Taylor.
Greg, how long have you been on now?
Just completed one term.
Okay.
It's been 96 per year.
Yeah, during that period of time, the number of tags allowed for the Edelin Island elk population has gone from 29, and I believe you had a proposal or will have a proposal this year to take it to 75?
Yes, I believe we did that already. It was the up to, so even though there is 75 permits possible, certainly the department is not necessarily going to issue all of those.
Well, that's the same story I was told on the 25 permits that were originally issued, was that they went to the board requesting up to 25 permits. We had specific legislation a year or so before that had said if you're going to have permits, four of them will go to charitable organizations, basically game-type organizations. Instead, they granted all 29 that first year. They granted 29 the next, and now they've gone to 75. So the track record that we've seen is that they're going to go ahead and do that.
Well, again, the elk population is doing wonderfully well down in that area, and again, if you've got a population of the state, you certainly want to put as many of them on the plate as you can.
Well, no, I understand that, but my concerns are that the board may have been given some very faulty information as concerns competition on habitat between Sitka blacktail and elk. In fact, I've requested the lab or the field notes, the lab work, and the rest of it on that subject, and I've never received them because as far as I can tell, the study has never been completed and a final report has never been issued by Matt Kirchhoff. If in fact any discussion comes up, and if any of this 75 is based on the competition theory, I would like you to at least inquire of the department before accepting that about what the department believes is the carrying capacity of the islands and areas impacted by their alleged competition. So far, when I've asked that question, everybody ducks their head and runs because we never do achieve carrying capacity in Southeast Alaska on Sitka blacktail deer because of winter kill and wolves. So as a consequence, we never do obtain the carrying capacity, yet at the same time, the department wants to say that the elk are out there eating the poor little deer out of house and home. In fact, the deer are going to die either by elk or by winter kill, or I should say by wolf or by winter kill, whether the elk's there or not. And I would hope that as a member of the board and the other members that may be there will at least make a searching inquiry of the department before they unilaterally accept information that I believe is somewhat suspect, and that the people offering it to you within the department have an agenda.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that, and I would try to put more folks in that. Certainly, again, with a lot of the issues that we deal with, there's always going to be some criticisms or questions on how accurate is your information, and I just try to give it my best balanced shot.
Well, I know you guys do, and I appreciate very much the work you're doing, and I don't want to sound critical of the board in this. It's just that I do have a concern about what I consider a rather dramatic expansion of that permitting process. I would have rather seen it go up 5-10 permits a year over a more extended period of time, and And until we have some biological information that indicates that we should be reducing or in any way slowing down the growth of that herd, I would hope you would not entertain further requests for additional permits or additional hunting on that population for at least another 5 years. 75 permits should be more than adequate to give you the type of background information you need during that period.
Well, I felt my decision on that was based on if the population was very healthy and could certainly sustain a harvest, and that was the basis of my decision.
I understand that, and I'm not critical of that. I just want you to be very, very careful in that decision, those decisions in the future, because I don't know that the population is as strong as the department is now indicating.
Well, we were, and certainly it didn't go anywhere, but we were kind of wondering how the intensive management laws would apply to
Well, first off, there is no justification to the allegation that there's competition. And I can send you two different doctoral theses done on the exact same subject out of the University of British Columbia when they planted deer on the northern end of Vancouver Island. They have found there's not only no significant competition, but there may in fact be a symbiotic relationship between the two that enhances both. So as a consequence, if that question should ever come up, I hope you or other board members will just give me a call and I'll be happy to provide you with that information.
Happy to do it. Go ahead and send it along to me.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much, and best of luck on your next 3 years.
Thanks, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lincoln.
Yeah, I'll ask your question again of this candidate. I'm glad that you're online, Greg, and I appreciate all the effort that you and others have done on the board. I know sometimes that can be a real thankless position. I'd like to hear from you what you feel are the major concerns for the board in the next few years.
Mr. Feller and Mr. Fagelbaugh hit it right on the head when they said that the subsistence issue needs to be resolved. At some level, things continue as they are. I see, maybe not the next few years, but in the next 5 or 10 or 20, within the next generation, hunting as we know it is going to be history in this state. There will be no more guide industry because all the harvestable surplus of any population is going to be going to subsistence, and unless something can be done to allow the board some latitude to provide some level of use for all different interests, every state in the hunt is going to, every hunt in the state is going to go tier two. And I'd say that the guide industry is.
Further questions, Senator Mackey?
I don't know.
If we don't have any further questions, we thank all three of you for being on. And I'd like a motion to send the standard letter of non-objection to the presiding officer on these three individuals.
So moved.
We have a motion. Are there any objections? Without objection, we'll send the standard letter recommendation. And you all have three of them to sign. Do we have anything else we can get to today? We don't have anything else we can get to today, so with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you all for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your time here and your time on the board.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator.
You can have that, too.